and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And we're going to finish up our recording of It's By No Means All the Book You Need to Order the Book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God by Kenneth E. Hagin. I tell you, I worked for Brother Hagin for 10 years. I was his editor. And I'm always saying, the greatest thing he taught me was how to walk in love. The greatest thing he taught me was how to walk in faith. But I'll tell you what. Right up there vying for number one, and I can't really rate them, is how to be led by the Spirit of God. I heard him. He determined that he was going to know the voice of the Spirit of God because the voice, the Bible says he speaks. Better than he knew the voice of his wife, better than he knew the voice of his son, his daughter. And I said, if Brother Hagin can do it, I can do it. And I learned from him how to be led by the Spirit of God. And it's so important. It's important to you in your life, who you marry, the job you take. It's important in your life, your life's calling, what he wants you to do. And especially important in these last days, as we depend upon him to show us things to come. So here we have the voice of the Holy Spirit as the number three way. Now, this is the third way that he's he repeats. This is chapter 19. God leads us by what we call the still small voice. That's the voice of your human spirit. But he also leads us by the voice of the Holy of the Spirit of God speaking to us. This is the third way we are led by the Spirit. Number one is by the inward witness. Number two, by the inward still small voice. And number three is by the more authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. There is a difference between the inward voice of the Spirit speaking to our spirits and that still small voice, which is the voice of our own spirit speaking to us. When the Holy Spirit within you speaks, it is more authoritative. Sometimes it is so real, it almost seems to be an audible voice. You may even look around to see who said it. It may seem so audible sometimes that you think someone behind you said something, then you realize it was in you. Remember in the Old Testament how the young boy Samuel heard a voice calling his name? I'll say it in Hebrew, Shmuel, Shmuel. He thought Eli was calling him. And by the way, his name Shmuel means, Samuel means listen to God or hear God. He jumped up and said to Eli, he ran to him to find out what he wanted, or Eli, as we say. He said, I didn't call you. He went back to bed, and it happened over and over. And finally, Eli said, the next time the Lord calls you, answer him. So the next time it happened, Samuel, just a little child, answered that voice, and the Lord spoke to him further. 1 Samuel chapter 3. All of God's leadings are supernatural. Some, however, are not so spectacular. But I found in more than 50 years of ministry that when God moved in a more spectacular way, when he has spoken to me in what seemed to be an audible voice, it meant that there was rough sailing ahead. If he had not spoken so spectacularly, I would not have stayed steady. Concerning the last church I pastored, for instance, I heard the pastorate was open. I made arrangements to preach there one Wednesday night. During the period of time before I was to go there to preach, I held a three-week revival in Houston. During this revival, the pastor and his brother, also a preacher, and I met at the church every day to pray about the night services. The church with the open pastorate was their home church. Every day the pastor and his brother would say to me, have you prayed about that church yet? Finally, I did pray about it. I just said to the Lord, I'm going up to that church next Monday and I'm going to preach Wednesday. I don't know whether you want me to pastor there or not. I don't know if I even want to pastor it, but whatever you say about it is fine with me. That's all I said. Then I heard a voice speak so plainly. I jumped. I looked behind me. I really thought that one of the preachers had heard me pray and was joking with me, because I heard this voice and it said to me, it sounded to me audible. The voice said, you are the next pastor of that church, and that will be the last church you will ever pastor. You could interpret that a thousand ways. You could let the devil tell you you're going to die or you're going to be defeated. But it actually meant that my ministry would change to a field ministry. About then, those two preachers walked down the aisle as usual. Have you prayed about that church yet? You two fellows are looking at the next pastor. Oh, they said, if you knew that church like we know it, You wouldn't say that. It's split right down the middle. Anything half the church is for, the other half's against. It takes 2/3 of the vote to get elected as pastor. And we'll just be honest with you, you won't be able to get elected. I don't know about that. I just know I'm the next pastor. Well, you don't know that church like we do. I said, no, but I know Jesus. And I know the Spirit of God. I know what He said to me. After I preached the first time, I saw why God moved in such a spectacular way. Every word I spoke bounced right off the back wall like a rubber ball bouncing. It was tough. I thought I was going to preach one night, but they had arrangements for me to preach several nights. Each night, my wife and children and I had to move to a different place to stay. We were at one deacon's house one night, another deacon's house the next night. One deacon told us, if you stayed with me all the time, some of the rest of the congregation would probably get jealous and think I'm for you, and they would vote against you. We kept all our things in the car, and every night we'd get out just enough for the next day. And every night when we got out of bed, I would say to my wife, if God hadn't spoken so spectacularly to me, I would just get up, get the children, get in the car, and leave without saying a word to anyone. My flesh wanted to leave so badly. My mind wanted to leave. My spirit held me steady because God had spoken to me in such a spectacular way. They had the election. I got every vote. Everyone said, it's the greatest miracle of the century that anyone would get that kind of vote from this church. I knew all the time I would get it. The Spirit of God had told me I would. Folks, I remember when I was a young housewife, 1970s, mid-70s, I was the editor of Kenneth E. Hagin's books, and I took his tapes and made them into books. I would listen to them each evening when I came home. Maybe you've heard me tell the potato story. And I would put up a tape recorder of what he taught at Rhema that day on the ledge above the sink as I peeled potatoes. And this day he said, today I'm going to teach you on marriage, divorce, and remarriage. It was a Rhema class. And he said, do you know why what Jesus spoke on the subject does not entirely agree with what Paul wrote on the subject in 1 Corinthians 7? And I thought, oh, I just about dropped my knife. I'm sure I dropped my jaw. I said, well, Jesus and Paul should agree. And then he went on to say it was because they were writing to two different groups of peoples. He said the Bible says to rightly divide the word of God. He said, now, Jesus was speaking in the Gospels primarily to Jews living under their covenant, offering them a kingdom. But then Paul is writing a letter to the New Testament church, and Jesus is giving them their law on the subject, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. But Paul is writing to the church in 1 Corinthians 7, and he is taking individual cases and interpreting in the law the only law the church has, which is the law of love. So there are different situations. And he said, now, to rightly divide the word, you need to know 1 Corinthians 10:32. That a scripture, whenever you're reading a scripture, he said, always see who is doing the talking and to whom are they speaking. So he said, there are three groups of peoples. 1 Corinthians 10:32 says that we are to not offend anyone, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. The Jews, the nations would be a better way to say it, nor the church. And Brother Hagin said there are three groups of peoples. There are the Jews, God's covenant people. There are the church. There's the church, God's own family, born again, His body. And then everyone in the third group called the nations or the heathen or the Gentiles. That's anyone who's not either a Jew or a Gentile. Not a Jew nor in the church. And so I'm just peeling potatoes there, and suddenly I heard what sounded to me like an audible voice. And it said, here's the intonation I heard. This was the voice of the Holy Spirit, not the voice of my spirit. I've heard the voice of my spirit in me. I've trained my human spirit. I know how to pray about something, and if you have a leading on it, you have a green light, you go, or a red light, you stop. But this wasn't either one. It came clearly out of the blue. I did not even expect it. And it spoke like this, concerning 1 Corinthians 10:32 and the three groups of peoples. If you will remember, that verse of Scripture, it will keep your end time doctrine straight. I was mesmerized. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know why I needed an end time doctrine. I was a housewife. I was an editor of publications. I taught Sunday school class down at the Friends Church, but Pastor Beatty was my pastor. At this time, he may have already come to Rhema, but in any case, it was the voice of the Holy Ghost. And folks, it is amazing what has happened since. Later on, I heard by the voice of the Holy Spirit that he was going to place me close to the Jews, so close they could know my love and see my power. And I'm telling you, in the years that have come past, if you would have told me that day we're going to own property in Israel, I would have fainted. Because I tell you the real truth, we were having a struggle to make our $65 a month house payment. And but it happened. And I, in leading, in following him, sometimes, because it is not written, I prayed about what to do when Kent passed away. And the Lord said, I want you to go to Israel and study Hebrew in the land. This is when he said, I'm going to place you close to the Jews, so close they know your love and see your power. And so I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit in walking this walk that we've walked through these years. I've had to go by the voice of the Holy Spirit, authoritative, the voice of my own spirit, and the inward witness. And it's worked. We had Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. When I came out here, right where I am today, we didn't have a nickel in our pocket, but I'd have a trance. I'd gone into a trance in Tulsa, and I had seen this place. And so my little mother, who was probably, oh my goodness, way on up there in age, she and I walked through the brambles out here. Nothing was cleared off. And the Lord said, this is it. You can read it in the book, The Road to Prayer Mountain. If you'll just write for that book, it's a history of early day Pentecost too. We'll send it to you for $1. And you can see how he dealt with us to come out here and have a place of prayer for two reasons, he said, to pray in the plans of God and to stop the strategies of the enemy. And I'm telling you, folks, it is happening on Prayer Mountain. We had such a day of prayer today. I'm taping this on a Wednesday. And God led us in how to pray for our nation corporately. We stream it live, and we have people join us from all over the world. Praise God. And they all write the same thing. We're so blessed to be able to pray together. We're moving into the end times, and Prayer Mountain's here for end times. And Prayer Mountain in the Galilee is as well. So this is Billy Brim saying, oh my, how I do want to share with you the good things I learned from Brother Hagin, and he learned from Jesus. So you'll want to get that book, How You Can Be Led by the Spirit of God. Just telephone us at 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying, Shabbat Shalom. Go to church.